preached all summer long. And when we come back on the 17th of September after our picnic together, I'm really looking forward to that. I will probably go a different direction, and I'm praying about that. But for today, I want to finish up. The title of last week's message was, Is He First? And I pulled a lot out of Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 17 is where I was getting that title for, because Colossians 1:17 makes a statement about Jesus. It says, He is before all things. That makes Him first. He is before all things. That makes Him first. And in Him all things consist. And everything that I broke down last week really came back to this question. And the question, even though I'm giving it as a question for you, it's not really a question in the sense of it answers itself. Is He first? The only question about is He first? He is first. But is He first in your life? That's the only question that I was giving you. Because He's first. He is first. If He's not first in your life, He's still first. He is who He is. In Mark 12, we're going to read a scripture that actually goes back to the Old Testament. It's going to be a New Testament scripture. It goes back to Old Testament times. And Jesus was being questioned by people, and a scribe was listening to all of it. We talked a little bit about this last week. The scribes are those that were very interested in the religious aspect of the law and keeping the law, and everything was supposed to be out of the law, although the problem was that they would use the law to judge other people and to put heavy burdens on other people that they themselves would not even keep. And the question came to Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And we pick that up, Mark chapter 12 and verse 28. It says, Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, Which is the first commandment of all? Jesus had just got through talking about the resurrection, and the scribe was over there listening to everything that Jesus said and said, he sounds pretty good. Let me throw something at him, see if he can handle this. Perceiving that he had answered them well, the scribe asked them, Which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. This is being pulled out of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Okay? Go down to verse 38 from right there. Then Jesus said to them in his teaching, this is a continuation, Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these will receive greater condemnation. So Jesus is breaking it down for them right there. And he was telling the truth. And if you'll notice along the lines of the New Testament as you read, you'll find out that Jesus did not have the problems with sinners that he had with religious people. Because he could break sin off of somebody's life like that. But when a bad spirit gets in you, that's something else. And that's where it was the religious people that crucified Jesus. And it's just such an interesting story. So I don't want to get to stop right there. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we get that greatest commandment from. And I will say this, you'll find out from this that nothing has changed. This commandment from back then is still alive for right now. So this is Moses talking, and this is a long time ago, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll start in the first verse right here. The people are actually ripe for God's word. They're ripe for his commandment. God has come and spoken to the people, and the people have heard his voice at the bottom of the mountain. They saw fire on the mountain. They heard God's voice came up, and they were shocked by it. And they said, I see now that men can survive after hearing the voice of God. But then they're saying this. They were so fearful of God. They said, if he speaks any more, certainly it will kill us. And they said, Moses, you go to him. You go to him, and you hear from him. And Moses did. But the Bible says this. It says that God saw that their fear was what it was, and he said, they're at a right place with me. They are fearful of me. They understand my power. And he was getting them ready to walk into something that they had not sown for. They were going to go into a land where all their needs were going to be met. There were going to be houses and lands that were there. There were going to be things that were planted that they didn't plant. They were going to receive a bounty that they didn't work for. It was an amazing thing. But God had prepared for them things that they didn't even do for themselves, but God was going to pour out a blessing on them. The only requirement was that they had to serve him with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, with all their strength. And they had to repeat to their children the things that God had done for them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Just that right there, just milk and honey, milk and honey. In order for them to get milk, they had to get up early and go out and get a cow and get it tied down and work the cow and get underneath the cow and to draw the milk out of the cow. Milk the cow. They had to milk the cow. But to get honey, there was no Walmart. There was no Hebrew word like Walmex or something like that. Well, Mecca, you know, interpreted as Walmart. There's none of that. If you wanted honey, somebody had to go out and rob a hive of bees. We don't like bees, do we, Don? We don't like them bees. Bees can be rough. But they're hearing about a land that, the point is this, what I used to have to work for, milk. What I used to have to go through and endure, honey, stings. It won't be like that anymore. This land will be flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You know what diligent means? That means you don't do it one time. You don't stop doing it. You keep doing it. You shall teach them diligently to your children. That means you had a responsibility to teach them to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I just want us to break that down right there. Let's see if we can find any gaps where he said, don't talk about me here. Do something else. Do whatever you want to do. But all these other times, I want you to talk about me. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, so he's got me when I'm sitting, when I'm walking, when I'm lying down. Maybe if I just sit down. Oh, but when you rise up. See, he's not leaving any gaps. He's saying, talk about me, talk about me, talk. Let my praise be on your lips. It should not be a strange thing in your home for your children to hear you talk about the Lord at some point in your day. Is he first? If he's first, you'll talk about him. Now, I said religious people is where things got messed up. But things get messed up, good things get messed up as soon as a man touches them. Billy Evans is a tremendous archer, a tremendous archer. I mean, he can hit the bullseye. That guy can shoot a bow. He can set a bow up. He sets my bow up, so I can shoot my bow good. But Billy is an excellent shot. And for him to be able to do what he does, he's got to do that just right every time, and it's got to be repeatable. And as he looks at my form, and he can pick my form apart, and he's like, because when we're doing that, it's not Pastor John anymore, it's just John. And I want him to wear me out and get me just right. And he'll show me until I get it just right. And he said, it's got to be repeatable. It's got to be the same thing. And he started telling me, there's a man, Pete Shapley, he owns precision shooting equipment. He is very well known. He makes some of the best bows in the world. And Billy is on a level that he gets to talk to Pete Shapley. But when Billy was young, he said, the first time I met Pete Shapley, he said, I wanted to make a good impression on him. And I started spouting all these things off about my bow, about his company and all this. And he said, Pete Shapley looked at me and he said, you know what's when your problem started with your bow? And he said, your problems with your bow started when you touched it. Let the wind out of the sail. There's something about us humans, an innate property that we have. As soon as we touch something, it starts getting messed up. And I'm taking it all the way back. As soon as they got these commandments, they started messing it up. He said, teach your children diligently. Talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And then verse 8 is so powerful to me. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 9, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Just bear with me for a second, because I didn't give them this scripture, but I want to read it to you. It's Matthew 23:5. We're racing, Jonathan, if you don't know right now.
You got me. But all their works, here we're talking about the scribes and the Pharisees again. Let me just read down, starting at verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. We just got through talking about Moses' seat. This is where these came from. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move. They will not move them with one of their fingers, but all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Okay, we just heard a minute ago about how they like to be seen and they like to be heard. And the religious people, they want you to hear their prayers, and it says they do it for a pretense. So right here, I want you to know where that came from, that phylactery. The phylacteries were these boxes that they would put on their heads, and they would strap them with leather to their heads like a big hat band, like a sweatband. And inside of those little boxes were scriptures and commandments. They were this right here. You shall bind them as so take the scripture, take the words, take the commandments. He said, talk about them in your house when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So they took that literally, and they took these scriptures. And they put them in little boxes and put them on their heads and took leather straps and strapped them to their heads. And then they took the same little box and they would strap it to their arm, and they wanted that word to be right there at their heart. And then they would bind it, and they would actually bind it like three times above, and then from here to here there would be seven wraps. Six, seven, and then it would continue on, and it would wrap around the palm a time or two, and then out their middle finger, it would go. I mean, they got all into it. I mean, they had the word on their head, and they had the word by their heart. They had it bound about their arm, and they looked way more religious than you did, and they liked that. And they walked around with this in these big, long, flowing robes, and they would say prayers, and everybody looked to them, so nobody was going to say anything against them except Jesus, because he told the truth. And when Jesus busted up that little rodeo, they really wanted to kill him. They hated him. Brent, thank you for volunteering again. Come on. Come on up here, Brent. He's always so willing. We're going to make Brent better than anybody here. This is like, Michaela is probably cringing. Walker's probably cringing because we did school projects together. So their projects look like their daddy had helped them out.
So we're doing phylactery.
It's full of scripture. I don't have the bindings to
hold that for me, Brent. Right there. There you go. Don't bust my tooth out.
But I do, I want you to look very religious, so I got some good pepper spray right here. See, y'all won't forget this today. Kids going back to school will appreciate it. Maybe. So let's bind this. Okay, there's your heart. Let's go around.
Need a lot of rope around.
With
at them arms. Good night. This boy been working out. Come on. 1, 2, 3. All right, now we got to get down to right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This should be leather, but it's not. We're gonna go up there. We're gonna go around your hand a couple times. I'm just trying to do it how it looked. All right. There's some extra. You can just hold on to that. And just in case, if anybody wonders who the holiest one is, you can just drop that extra and say, I got more. All right, just walk around for a second. I'm not going to ask you to pray because we won't take it that far. But they would recognize Brent as being so holy because he's got his little scriptures right here. He's got his little scriptures right here and his commandments, and he's doing it. I mean, Brent's holier than us. Come on back here, holy Brent. And here's here it did not take anything more than a commandment from God to do some things that people took it and started messing it up. And then it got to the point where their phylacteries started getting bigger, because I need to be more holy than you. My titling needs to draw more respect than yours does. You can go really high, just don't go higher than me. And they really loved that. Now, here's the thing nowadays. People wear crosses. Nothing wrong with it. My son wears a cross every day. He's worn it every day for a long time. And he wears it with everything. I don't think he ever, hardly ever, I've never seen him without it on, hardly. I don't think he takes it off. But my only thing with that is that cross does not make you saved. And by wearing that cross, you draw attention to yourself, and you're likely to disgrace that if you're not very careful. Because it's that you don't even have to say anything. That cross is making a statement. And Jesus said, I see you making a statement, but I see you putting something off on people that you don't do. You see that? So you can go over there and unstrap yourself. Brent, you did good. You always do good. First Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7. Saul was the king. David was in line, but Saul was the king. Saul was the people's king. They had wanted a king, and they looked for a king, and they found Saul. And you know why they chose Saul? Because of his appearance. It said Saul stood head and shoulders above every other man. So to the people, he was the obvious choice. You could set him in a crowd and he couldn't hide because Saul. And what they could see, they made a decision out of that. We do the same thing. We see things and we think because we see things, they must be a certain way. What does 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 say?
say? Can you bring that one up for me? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I've told you something real simple today. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hear about that in the New Testament, but that came from old. That is from of old. That's way back to Moses' day. And that has not changed. Now, we've touched some things, and we've messed some things up. And we're still a people that will look at an outward appearance and be convinced by what we see. But understand this, God sees also. I don't see what God sees. I see what the outward appearance tells me. But regardless of what the outward appearance says, God sees what's really going on, because he sees what's in my heart. God sees the heart. So the question, is he first? Well, I can wear a cross. I can carry a big Bible. I can say all the right things on Sunday morning in these hours. But catch me later on in the week and see if I'm still that person or not. I knew of someone who ran their company, and they were harsh. They were hard, and their language was harsh and hard. And I mean, like, rough to their employees. And someone finally called them on it and said, why do you talk like that during the week and act like that during the week, but on Sundays, man, basically honey couldn't melt on your tongue. You're just as nice as you can be. And he said, well, that's how the world works. I have to be that way. No, you don't. I'm not reading that anywhere. I'm not seeing that anywhere. I'm seeing that he wants us to be one way all the time. We're supposed to be his all the time. You don't have to be hard to people. You don't have to be mean to people. You don't have to use language that belittles people to get your point across. Matter of fact, I have this thing in my house. If I have to say it a different way than what I said it the first time, either you're not hearing me, or I didn't get my point across, or what I said I did not mean. Because if I said it, I meant it. And if I said it, I expect it to be carried out. And that doesn't, if we're not careful, we'll take positions of authority that God has given us, and we will abuse them, wanting a desired response and never getting it because we weren't honorable ourselves. Don't worry, I am not preaching long this morning, because I really believe I've already made my point. And the point is this. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Is he first? You can answer that however you feel like you need to. But I can tell you this. Whatever your answer is, he knows if it's the right answer or not. He knows if it's the truth or not. And that is not on anybody else to fix. That is on you. Is he first? Yes, he's first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. He said it was an adjective that described a place of power and authority in him. It was a word. It was an action. That word, one with him, it meant one thing. He's here. He's here. It was no debate. It was no question. Colossians 1 says it a different way. It says he is before. It says the same thing, but a different way. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. We talked about that all last week. And in him all things consist. That means things hold together. All things consist. I told you last week, it's like the egg in the batter. He is the consistent ingredient. He is first. If you miss that, you're not going to have anything holding together. If things are holding together in your lives, is he first? If he's first, things will hold together no matter what happens. But if he's not first, no wonder it's falling apart. It's a real easy fix. It's a real easy fix. It's falling apart. He's not first. You can lie to yourself. You can make an excuse. If he's not first, it will show itself. It will show itself. I'm going to finish it like this. Christine, I want you to come. I asked you last night. Not just first in a biblical sense. Not just first in a biblical sense, but you see how that plays out. It played out because I want you to come over here, not there. I want you to come over here. I'm going to pull on you harder. It said, talk about me when you stand up, when you lie down, when you move about. Basically, there's not a time when talking about him is not in order. So that answers the question of, is he first on a Sunday? I think I could pretty much say, yeah, he's first on a Sunday. But I don't see y'all. Most of y'all, I don't see y'all till Sunday. So I can't answer if he's first on Monday for you. I can't go to your job and find out if he's first for you there. I can't go to your family and find out if he's first. I can't go to your relationships and find out if he's first. Just those things. What else does it look like for God to be first in our lives? Where would that show up at?
I mean, the first things I think about, is he first in what comes out of my mouth, in my reactions when I'm faced with conflict on my job or in the home? Is it the first thing my response is? Is it a fruitful one and a godly one, or is it a fleshly one? Is he first in my conversations? Is he first in my thoughts? Is he the first thing that happens when I get in the car and I have an opportunity to drive with my kid, and he's on his phone back there maybe or whatever, but it's let's quiet everything down. Let's put him, we have time to sit, walk by the way. We drive now. The Bible says walk by the way, but we drive in our car. We make him first in our car. Are we quieting some of the voices and making him first? And so those are the things that come to my mind. Yeah.
One other thing that's real popular right now. There's this thing about self-help. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, hon. Self-help. That's a big term like lately. Like, am I saying it right? Self-help? Okay. See, I'm not really that into it, but I know it's out there. I know myself needs some help, but I guess the easiest way, me time. There's a whole lot of me time that's going on. Self-help. There's books on self-help. We can get ourselves and get smart and get all of these things going. But do we take any time at all to get in front of God for just a minute in the morning to start a day and say, God, I need you. I need you to help me. I'm getting ready to walk into a world that does not love you. I'm going to be walking into a place of darkness, and I need to be your light. I need you to touch my attitude. I need you to help me with me. I'm getting ready to wear this cross in front of people. I'm getting ready to make a claim just by me walking in the room. My conversation's not going to be like everybody else's. I can't fit into to all the jokes that I used to fit into. I can't act like everybody's acting. I need to stay in the territory that you've created me in, your kingdom. I'm walking into the world, but your scripture says that I can be in this world, but not of this world. Will you help me with that? In this world, but not of this world. And he will. And he will. So, Father, this summer, you've given me a whole lot of fence posts of truth of your word. And you've given me fencing to set that is your word between these fence posts of your word. And you've shown us territory that we can operate in. But it's us who has to do it. And we want you to know, Father, that you are first. You are before all things, and in you all things consist. And I'm asking you, God, of the things that you've shown us this summer, if there's anything that convicts us, that touches us in our hearts, and says, I need you to step this area up in your life. I need to shore this up, and I will help you, but I need you to be willing. I need you to say, yes, yes, yes. Thank you for showing me that, God. Now help me move towards that. Thank you that you'll do that, Lord. This is not a game, because the enemy is serious, and he has come to steal, to kill, to destroy. But you have come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we thank you for that, Lord. You are first. You are before all things. In you all things consist. And our privilege is to love you, the Lord our God, who is one, with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. God, let us commit our ways to you again right now. You are first, and let us keep you in your rightful position in our lives so that we can walk into the blessings that you have for us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to offer you some time, just some you time, just some self-help where you pray to him and get yourself some help from him, because he's got that for you. I just want us to take 5 minutes before we move and before we start leaving. It's 12:30. I want us to take 5 minutes and commit our ways to God as his children right now. So you can find a place, you can come and you can pray down here, you can pray where you're at. But I want to take 5 minutes and offer that up to the Lord.